You know when you're trying to think of a song but just can't quite remember the name? Like when you're looking for the perfect track for a car ride, but all you can think of is a beat? Well, using weed in your teens can make you forget things you want to remember. Because your brain is still developing, the THC in weed can impact your ability to form memories and remember things. MindOverMarijuana.com can show you the different ways weed can impact you in real life. Want proof? Check out the facts at MindOverMarijuana.com. Sponsored by the California Department of Public Health.
This is the Deliberate Talks Weekly Podcast, powered by the Pixelated Egg Digital Ventures. Tune in every week to learn something new about digital marketing and entrepreneurship. And now, over to the voice of your host, Dakshin Adyantaya. Enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to the Deliberate Talks Podcast. And today, to hack the minds of our listeners and influencing you in your communication, we have Ben Pressington in our virtual studios. Hello, Ben. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic.
Super. Benjamin is the CEO of BehaviorSales.com, a behavioral intelligence company. He's also an author of 5 books and an international speaker. And to begin the journey, Ben, tell us, what was life before becoming the CEO of Behavior Sales and what instigated you to start your own setup?
Well, I've always been an entrepreneur at heart and been building and capitalizing on opportunities. So it's really been just a continued evolution. There's nothing more, I guess, challenging than when you go to work for somebody and you see that there's better ways to do things, or there's ways that things could be improved or an experience could be improved. And when you try to pitch that to managers or anyone you're working with, and they don't kind of understand it, it's just like, well, maybe I've got to do something about this. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of how the whole journey has always been. And I've always found it easier to create my own results than work for somebody and be under the pressure of somebody else's expectation, where I can create a bigger reality. And it's always nice to be able to go celebrate things with my wife or go paddleboarding on a Wednesday while people are at work, and I get to be out on the ocean and playing with dolphins and watching turtles and things like that while others are working. But as the entrepreneurial journey, as you say, like, you're always working as a business owner. Like, yeah, there doesn't seem to be an off switch.
Awesome. And how's the journey been so far?
The journey is always a roller coaster, but that's always part of the fun, right?
Right. Absolutely. And but tell me a little bit about your studies and, you know, in terms of college, how is that shaping up to what you have become today?
So I got a law degree and a criminology degree. So I was studying human behavior. And what I didn't realize is that's what I was most passionate about. And I started really applying that in different angles. So I was applying that to the sales process. So like, how do you apply human behavior to sales? They called it gamification is one of the words. Like, how do you create engagement? How do you create enjoyable? How do you make things fun and exciting to empower people? And that was what was always fascinating. So even though I have a law degree, which is an Australian-based law degree, there's many angles that can be applied. Law teaches you logic or rational thinking, and it teaches you to be able to think and think of the counter arguments to anything you're going to be doing, which is a smart thing for a business owner to always be thinking in an agile manner and going, well, what happens if this happens? What happens if that happens? Right. I find that some of the biggest mistakes you end up making in business is because you didn't think through the possible consequences, or you didn't think through and create plans for situations that can happen. Right. And we've all seen with the change of what happened in the last few years that you have to be able to plan and be adaptable and be able to roll with the punches, right?
And, you know, you just said about adapting to the entire thing. What is the process like today in terms of what is the need for this? Is there a huge demand for this, or what is it like in terms of for any company to come to you today for your services?
Yeah, so there's a massive need, because one of the things we find is most people are unsure how to communicate with others. And every company wants to improve their sales. Mm-hmm. Every company wants to make their sales force more effective. And if you have a virtual sales team, how do you even support them because they're no longer in the office? So we're finding the demand for this actually rapidly increasing all around the world, because one of the things we can do is we can analyze communication in almost real time. We can analyze emails. We can analyze text messages. We can understand emotion that most people miss. We can add metrics to things that companies were never tracking before. For example, we can track the difference between a winning sales conversation and a losing sales conversation. And we can create a benchline for companies to be able to see if the conversation I just had with that client, is it moving me closer to a deal or is it moving me further away from a deal? We can do things like predict abandonment. We can predict if people ended an email and they weren't happy. And if they're not happy, it's going to be increasing the likelihood of churn, which means losing a customer. So we're finding a lot of companies are really wanting to get a competitive edge. And nowadays, with there's so many communication methods, it's like hard to track this. Just tracking, hey, you made 100 calls today, doesn't really mean anything if every call you made was had a negative emotion or a negative sentiment. And it created frustration for your clients.
Simplify this whole process, firstly, of what behavior intelligence is. And what does it involve? And secondly, how do you hack into a complex human mind to understand?
So behavioral intelligence is what we call using insights. So the big difference between analytics and insights is analytics gives you data to interpret, but insights gives you actionable intelligence. And what behavioral intelligence is all about, it's about providing you metrics on body language and nonverbal cues. So for example, we can tell when people are frustrated. We can tell people's personality types based on how they're communicating. And if you know their personality type, you can then better connect with them because you can understand their motivations, their stresses. You can understand how they make a decision. So we help clients do two things. We help clients do predictive personality. So that means we can help you turn an email address into a personality profile assessment. So that allows you to go, hey, this person is, we predict to be this personality type. So when I approach them, I can speak to them in the way that they need to hear things. I can understand, look, this is going to be their decision-making process. So therefore, I can support their decision-making process in my conversation. It allows you to build rapport faster. It allows you to build trust and influence much more easier. Because you know from the predictive intelligence what their personality type is, how they're going to react, how they're going to think. The other part is that we then do what we call sales insights. And that means we're literally interpreting your conversations and helping you discover the unspoken. What was unsaid? Was there an objection you didn't handle? Is there a point in the sales presentation where the person you're talking to wasn't open or receptive to even hearing what you had to offer? So therefore, if they aren't even open, we can predict that the likelihood of you closing that deal is not going to be very high because they're just not open to it right now, where you may spend a lot of time trying to convert that person, but the reality is they're not, no interest. We can show you that because of the words that they're using.
But how do you create trust in this whole process?
Creating trust is very simple. What most people don't realize is you need to understand the four different personality types. And then based on that, trust is built around confidence and leading. And most people don't create trust effectively because they don't know how to confidently lead. So if you take control and if you lead that person in that situation and communicate to their style, always making sure that they feel like they're being heard and you're connecting with them authentically, you'll instantly create trust and rapport. Trust can be as simple as asking for micro agreements. So for example, I can say, hey, are you hearing me okay?
Yeah.
Well, see, instantly you said yes. And that means I'm asking you the question. So therefore I'm leading the conversation. And that instantly can create trust. It's like, who's got the confidence here? Because every human wants to be led. And what most people stumble is they kind of stumble into reading a script, but they're missing the authenticity. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And so who are your customers in this case?
Our customers are companies that have sales teams. So typically people who have sales teams, 3 to 150 sales reps or more. And we're finding there's a lot of demand right now from people who are in the sales business. They sell any type of product, usually a high margin or a high commission based product. And they want to improve their own sales and they can't rely on the company training. to get them to where they want to get to today. So we've got kind of two types of customers. We've got the single sales rep who wants to get better, wants to make better commissions. No, that person understands that, hey, how I was selling 2 years ago is totally different to how I need to sell and engage with leads right now. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the larger companies who are trying to improve their sales teams and make their sales performers more effective.
Right. And what about, entrepreneurs? Does it also involve consultation or, just having a conversation with an individual who is looking forward to starting his own or her own business and other aspects of it?
Yeah, so we provide tools and trainings that allow people to be more effective in their conversations day to day. So to help you identify the different personalities, we give you a software tool that allows you to enter somebody's email address or their LinkedIn address. And in 15 seconds, it gives you their personality assessment. So then you can use that when you're having a conversation with them. So if you are in conversations with people where you're trying to sell, influence, motivate people, we can certainly help you be more effective at influencing, gaining trust, gaining authority, and at the end of the day, closing a deal.
Right. And this whole process, again, requires good resources from your end to keep constantly training others as well, right? How is the resource management at this point of time from an industry perspective? And secondly, what is your onboarding process to train these employees?
Yeah, so our onboarding process is very simple. Like they just use our online application. So you can be up and running in 30 seconds. If you're using our more advanced system, it can be as simple as you uploading a recording. So for some people, for example, we help them analyze their sales pitch. Because what most people don't realize is they are sabotaging their own sales through things they're doing with their communication or their body language. So we can help them analyze their own sales pitch. And that's as simple as long as you've got video or audio recordings of your sales pitch, we can literally tell you what's going wrong and where you're sabotaging yourself in less than 15 minutes. So it's that simple as like, if you can upload a video to YouTube or to Facebook or to LinkedIn, you can use our system just as well.
I'm very curious to know in terms of the real applications of these. Tell me a use case situation where you've analyzed someone's, like you said, the body language or the spoken words. Tell me real life case studies with clients.
Yeah, so we had one client who's got a complex sales funnel. They sell a very high ticket technology product. And one of the things was they found is they have 30 conversations over 6 months. And that becomes very complicated for them because they've got multiple parties on the sales, multiple conversations all the time, right? And as a result, they're having to have a lot of people in the sales funnel. And one of the things we were able to analyze was when we were looking at their track record, they were having meetings with people who they had no influence over. They were bringing technicians on calls where they didn't need to have a tech analyst because the tech analyst didn't have influence over any party on the call. So one of the things that we found was they were having more calls than they needed to be, and they weren't being as effective as they were. So we were able to help them streamline that in identifying, for example, on a call, who has influence over who and who's most important, but also helping them prepare for the meeting by identifying personality styles. And we were able to reduce the time it took for them to close a deal. Other companies we work with, we've been able to help them create that sales baseline. So understanding if it's a good conversation or a bad conversation. We've been able to give a lot of sales reps in the business development role more confidence in their approach when they're approaching cold leads. Anyone who's doing marketing, we've been able to help them identify a more detailed market segment. So rather than just targeting CEOs, we can actually target CEOs who have a D-type personality. So we can actually then create more effective content that speaks to that person based on their personality type. So we can help them attract a better type of client. They're just some of the ways we're working with a lot of people who they don't realize the data they have because it's never been used for any type of intelligence within their company previously. So there's a lot of companies who have, we can actually show them just based on the email communication they're having with clients, which clients are about to leave, or you've got a higher risk of them churning just because they're starting to lose interest in the service or the product. So that it gives you an opportunity to save that deal before you lose it for good.
Yeah. And, as an individual, Ben, do you use this as an application to even have a conversation like in a very normal situation with a person like me, if you're meeting for the very first time, regardless of the tools, regardless of the software, as an individual that you are, because you're so much involved in your work, do you also use it in terms of a way as an icebreaker or understanding a personality in front of you when you meet for the first time?
100%. Yes, I can actually, we train people on 3 to 6 body language cues to look for when you're having a conversation with somebody. It doesn't matter if it's in Starbucks or on a Zoom meeting. And if you can pick up on those cues, you can actually determine if they're really happy, if they're not telling you the full truth. And if they're not telling you the full truth, mm-hmm. you can then start to ask questions differently. Or you maybe need to ask a follow-up question because they don't feel they can explain it the way they need to explain it. And it helps you identify objections, for example, before it creates a problem. And just in day-to-day communication, like if being more connected with friends and family members, being able to more authentically make them feel like they've been heard. That's ridiculously powerful. Like many relationships struggle because the partner feels as though they're not being heard or listened to. Where if you can transform that just because you're picking up on things you weren't identifying before, mm-hmm. that's, I find it amazingly valuable.
Absolutely. So has your analysis ever gone wrong? You know, tell me about funny analysis that you've come across. And how do people behave when you give these kind of analysis to them?
Yeah, well, analysts can always go wrong, and we're reading data. So, for example, one of the things our prediction field reads on a LinkedIn profile is somebody's the About Us section, right? Uh-huh. So it's a very static About Us section, or you may have used a template, or your assistant wrote that section for you. And then we predict the wrong personality type.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're doing then is we're predicting the personality type of your assistant rather than you.
Right.
but what we're doing is we're giving people the confidence on that approach, and we're showing them how to adapt. So it's easy once you experience it, but some people get hung up on, oh, it predicted the wrong one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, it didn't predict the wrong run. It predicted for the wrong person. But then we have to ask the person what we're usually talking to. I'm like, well, are you sure you want to be communicating in that style? Because that's attracting the wrong personality types that you don't want to be dealing with.
Right.
Very problematic for anyone writing content or in social media or things like that. They think they're using the right voice, but they don't understand that the personality style actually transfers as well. And then the client's like, well, no wonder I'm attracting people I don't like working with.
Mm-hmm.
It does get interesting. So the predictions can be wrong. It is using the data that's in front of you. And there's things to factor in. But the reality is it gives people more confidence in their approach. And data is always interpretations. There's right. multiple interpretations. There's multiple studies on what means what and how it can be used. So that's always important to factor in.
Right. Absolutely. And any funny situations where you've been in where the conversation has gone the other way?
Oh, 100%. I was talking with one person that I thought wanted a slower style uh-huh. and slower decision-making process because of their personality type. So I changed my style. Uh-huh. And within the first few minutes, I really realized that I'm like, oh, crap, this person is a fast-talking decision maker. Uh-huh. And I had to evolve because I had to change the way I was communicating to make sure that they were hearing me the way they needed to be hearing. Otherwise, if I kept talking slowly and peacefully and not trying to be too expressive,
mm-hmm.
I would have lost their interest and they wouldn't have cared because we all know people like that. There's all people we talk to and it's just like, can you hurry up? Or some people are like, can you slow down? Right? Like, why are you talking with your hands so much?
Right?
There's all these things you have to be aware of.
And just one more aspect of it, you know, how long has it been for you since the time you've started behavior sales?
We've been researching and doing the development for over a year and connecting with some of our partners who we're furthering their development and research, which has been 30 odd years.
Correct.
But the company is actually less than 1 year old. We're very new and we're taking something that we were using internally as a process Correct. Within our own previous entities and applying it now as a product that anyone can get access to at any point in time. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to make it affordable for absolutely everybody because we believe everybody should have the tools they need to be a more effective communicator. And we see it's one of the biggest problems in our world today,
right,
is what we call people being ignorant. They're ignorant on how to communicate with each other. Like if they don't have their cell phone, some people literally cannot have a conversation. And that's sad. They're missing out on so much joy in life because being able to connect with people and hear stories and tell stories is extremely rewarding.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the reasons I also asked how long has it been is because you've been in this industry for long and practicing this. How has the approach changed over the years, according to you? Do you see a change in terms of the way the practices have changed?
Yeah, I do see there's a lot of people who do a personality assessment and they go, that's awesome. But then they've been stuck on how do I apply this to my life? Or they do an assessment and then they forget what it was and they don't know how to implement. And one of the big things we want to focus on is the implementation and execution of this, but also trying to make it so you don't have to do 10 hours of training or certification to understand what this means. How can I understand this in 5 seconds or less? And that's really our goal and our purpose. So we're really trying to make it easier for people to consume and leverage this conversational intelligence versus, okay, I've got to go and try and master this now and get certified and read these 10 books and attend all these conferences when you really don't need to. Like there's technology can facilitate so much to happen so much faster.
Great, great. Fantastic stuff there, Ben. With that, we conclude the first round of questions. Time to move on to our rapid fire round of questions. Starts in 3. Are you ready for this?
Yes, I am. Let's go.
Tell me a bit more about your books and why one should read them.
Well, the one I love the most is my most recent one, and that's People Ignorant. And the thing is I was extremely shy. I was an extremely shy person, and I struggled with what we call my own self-worth and my own value, right? I was the type of person when I was negotiating price, I would collapse fully on the price and pretty much give the product away or pay people to work for them. So that was never a good thing, right? Like, so if you're a salesman and you're paying them, it's a bad relationship. So the thing is I love that book because it gives people access to over 15 years of training that I've gone through from people who worked at the CIA and trained black site interrogators, to some of the best self-help people in the industry and how to rapidly transform their communication, rapidly transform their confidence, their self-worth and help them create what I call personality by design. So if you ever want to design your personality and remove self-sabotaging behaviors, in less than 150 pages, this book gives you all the secrets and the tools you need to implement and execute that. So that's one I'm really passionate about because I know what it's like to be someone who's shy and struggle with and having fears and anxiety of talking to people. Like that used to scare me. Completely, you wouldn't understand.
Being an author, being an entrepreneur, or being an international speaker, which do you enjoy the most and why?
Writing books is just a process and it's commitment, seeing something through, but always speaking and interacting with people is the most fun. And there's always a rush when you speak with people and you get to, at the end of the day, see the light bulb go off in their head or help them transform their life. Like it's amazing to see that and see that impact.
Right. Okay, then tell me, while being an international speaker, what's the favorite question you have ever received from an audience or a client of yours?
They always want to know if I know Steve Irwin or have met Crocodile Dundee or any of those people. So it's the people they watch on TV. Or the favorite question is like, oh, I know someone who lives in Australia and they all think I know them because I'm Australian. I'm like, yeah. And I usually tell people, oh, I know them. I met them at the coffee shop the other day. Like, and they're like, really? I'm like, yeah, there's only 24 million people in Australia. Of course I know everybody. Like,
oh, that's fun. Okay. On a lighter note, when you're out with friends and family, are you still at work analyzing them or are you actually spending time with them?
You'll find you get a skill level at some point where you can, it's always on, but you're not necessarily paying attention to it. When I'm always out with friends and family, I'm always noticing little things that they don't notice because you just become aware of things. And it's always fascinating. It's always operational.
Now, taking the other side of the seat, what is the best way to cope up in a situation if I'm sitting with a communication hacker link?
Relax and just be normal. Because what a lot of people try to do is they start to analyze and compensate and then do things, and then they make themselves uncomfortable. At the end of the day, you've still got to communicate.
Right.
And you've got to be as authentic and normal as possible, because you'll be amazed how many people have advanced communication skills and you'd never realize it. So not many people label themselves as a social engineer or a people hacker. Mm-hmm. So that's it. Everyone should be a people hacker and understand how to motivate, inspire, make people laugh, make people smile, make people cry. Either way, you can use it for good or bad.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Tell me two interesting stats, facts, or trends about your industry.
That's an interesting one. I don't really know any stats coming to hand. I do know some of the facts that people do assessments and forget. And it becomes this kind of like blip on their radar. But they always say, that was interesting. How do I apply it more? I hear every day that how we can help people hire the right people. So I do know when you're looking at hiring or recruiting or understanding the what they call soft skills in a company, like how we can understand how there's the wrong personality in the wrong role, that can be very impactful for a small company or a large company.
And finally, what's planned for you this year?
I'm actually going to enjoy a few months of travel this year. Uh-huh. We're rapidly scaling our company internationally. So this company that's less than a year old already is going to be international, and we're expanding our distribution partners. I know people ignorant will be in Spanish and French before the end of the year. So that's pretty cool. Within the first year of operation of that, of the book and the content associated with that. And I'm just going to make sure this year I have a hell of a lot more fun.
Super. And finally, before we conclude this conversation, what are your 3 to 5 pro tips to help close pitches faster using communication hacks?
Yeah, so one of the things I would look for is I'd look for the 3 body language signs that you want to be paying attention to if there's a withheld objection or withheld opinion, or if people need reassurance. And most salespeople miss that. They don't know how to detect those. So if you want those, you can claim those as the free gifts on our website. And then the other part of it is if you can understand, so number 2 would be understanding the 4 personality types. If you can identify those, and we use birds, 4 different types of birds to identify that, so it's easy for people to remember, mm-hmm. I can promise you, you'll transform your communication. You'll no longer get pissed off with some people who kind of piss you off, because you're like, hold on, they're acting that way because that's who they are. So therefore, what do I need to do? And the last tip would be, the more aware you can become of yourself and your own personality, the more control you have over the circumstances you're in. So they would be the 3 tips I'd leave people with.
Fantastic. Great. Ben, with that, we come to the end of this episode. And before we leave, where can our listeners know more about you and your book?
Yeah, so they can jump on peopleignorant.com. It's pretty easy, peopleignorant.com. They can check there. There's a whole lot of free resources, and there's digital copies of the book, and we're always offering great new resources and training there, and they're more than welcome to reach out and connect to us at any point in time.
Fantastic. And I had a great time hosting you. Thank you so much for making time. I hope you had your share of good time on the show too.
It was fantastic. I really appreciate it.
Super. Thank you so much, Ben. Best wishes always. And so that brings us to the end of today's conversation. This is Dakshin Adhitaya signing off. Don't forget to hit the follow button on your favorite audio platforms, or get in touch with me at deliberatetalks@gmail.com. Join in next Monday for a new episode. Until then, inspire and be inspired.